Meeting will come to order. It is 1:04. We're in room 120. It's January 29th, and this is the House Judiciary Committee. The members of the committee who are present at the moment are Representative Grunberg, Representative Lynn, Representative Klayman, and myself, Chair Ledoux. Please take a moment to turn off your cell phones. And let the record reflect that we have a quorum to do business. Before we begin, I would like to thank Christy Blair for being our House Judiciary Secretary and Jessica Hanlon from the Juno LIO, who will make sure that we have sound and a transcript of our committee meetings. Representative Edgman, please come forward and you may begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Bryce Edgman. I represent House District 37. First, I'd like to thank you and the committee for hearing the bill that you're about to hear. And before I give way to my staff to kind of walk the committee through the bill itself, I'd like to sort of preface things by making maybe a minute or two's worth of overarching comments. First, I would say that the bill, as you will find out, or probably already have read, for the most part, is essentially a technical fix in its application. But my comments to set up a discussion about the bill would be to just to point out to the committee that is someone who is Alaska Native of descent and born and raised on rural Alaska, has had the opportunity as a legislator to work directly with the criminal justice agencies, primarily the last 6 years, overseeing the Department of Corrections and Public Safety as the chairman. It really has come to my attention that the role of tribal courts has a growing role, I believe, in terms of providing justice and other services out in the local areas. And the fact that I think it was last year we had a couple of resolutions come before this committee that had tribal attached to them, and I appreciate the committee for hearing those bills, for passing them out. But as we get to the bill that's before you today, again, back to its application, the purpose of the bill, it is motivated by allowing tribal courts to sort of take an additional step under Alaska law to increase their duties, if you will. But I want to leave you with the thought that I'm a strong proponent of tribal courts, and I'm a strong proponent of doing it under the Constitution of the State of Alaska as that permits. But that when it came to my attention to introduce this bill, that I jumped on it immediately, and I hope that you have the opportunity to hear it in its entirety. And with those sort of broad, somewhat rambling comments, I wanted to just, again, appreciate the opportunity to hear the bill, and thank you for giving me a few minutes to speak before my staff comes up and walks the committee through the bill.
Thank you. Before we go to your staff member, I was just wondering what tribal courts in Alaska might be able to issue the orders that we're talking about here.
Well, I'll let my staff get in those details. He's done the research, if okay. I might, Madam Co-Chair. But there will be a number of tribes throughout the state, and I think Tim is a little more prepared than I am to speak to the details of that.
All right. Well, Mr. Tim, do you want to come up here?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I've got to leave to go to a Finance Committee meeting.
All right. Thanks for being here. You may proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. My name is Tim Clark. I'm staff to Representative Edgman. In answer to your question to the representative, offhand, I know of just a handful of tribal courts that have, you know, for years demonstrated strong institutions and capacity. I believe there are some that are associated with the Tanunoc Chiefs Conference up in the interior, and I know that here in Southeast there's a strong tribal court associated with the Tlingit and Haida, and others, you know, in several locations around the state. The I understand we'll have two attorneys from the Department of Law on hand.
I don't believe they're online right now, but I think that's what we expect.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I hope that they could maybe add to my answer to that question, since the Department of Law has been in closer and closer contact with tribal courts in recent years. So.
And we do have Casey Schroeder in the room, however.
She's one of them.
Yes.
Last we heard.
If I may, I could just kind of walk you through the broad outlines of what the bill is meant to accomplish.
Absolutely.
It relates, first of all, to the removal of what was known as the Alaska exemption to the Violence Against Women Act that was repealed in the autumn of 2014 through a bill sponsored by Senators Murkowski and then Senator Begich. That brought attention to the state's obligation to enforce protection orders from other jurisdictions, jurisdictions including other state, territorial, and tribal courts. Under our statutes on these matters as written, law enforcement in the state is only compelled to enforce a tribal or other state's protection order if that order has first been filed with a clerk of an Alaskan court.
Mm-hmm.
However, with Alaska now subject to the Violence Against Women Act, the federal law supersedes state law, and a protection order issued by a foreign jurisdiction, foreign meaning other state, other territory, or tribal court, no longer needs to be registered in a state court before it's enforced. So, it was in July of this year that the Attorney General, at the behest of the Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety, issued a thorough opinion on this subject, talking about the state now being subject to the federal law. And in that opinion, he twice, in two places, recommended that the state reconcile our statutes with the now prevailing federal obligation or federal law's obligations. So, and that's essentially what the bill does. It follows the Attorney General's recommendations for compliance. We hope will help kind of clarify the duties of state law enforcement by removing these conflicts. And we also hope that I think there's a dimension where it might lower the risk of the state being subject to lawsuits that could be brought about, say, a wrongful arrest lawsuit where someone might argue, well, the state statute says this, even though the federal law might say that. So to have them, to put us on the same page, so to speak, would diminish that risk. In addition, the bill adds a presumption of validity on the part of law enforcement so that they're encouraged to enforce a protective order issued by another jurisdiction so long as it appears authentic on its face. We kind of think of that as a err on the side of caution item. And that presumption of validity does exist in other states who've addressed these matters. And it also, in discussion with Ledge Legal Services, they agreed that nowhere was it stated very clearly or all in one place what defines other states or other jurisdictions. So this bill does state more clearly that those other jurisdictions include courts of another state or territory, United States military tribunals, and tribal courts.
Does it include foreign judgments?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And the final thing we'd like to note is that just as the Attorney General emphasized in his opinion, the state continues to encourage people to file their protection orders with a clerk of an Alaskan court because it goes straight to a central registry. And to quote the Attorney General, it gives officers access to tribal and foreign protection orders anywhere in Alaska, even if the victim does not have a copy of the order at hand. So, and with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Do we have any questions for Mr. Clark?
I will at some point. I want to hear the other testimony before I go ahead.
Well, actually, there is... We are supposed to have, we have Ms. Schroeder in the room, who I'm sure is available for, to answer questions. I do not believe that there is any other testimony. We don't have anybody else from the, we were supposed to have John Skidmore of the Criminal Division online available for questions, and Mary Lundquist with the Department of Law ready to answer questions, but there is nobody that I'm seeing, unless there's somebody in the room who...
Madam Chair, I've been told, I'm Allison Hanzel from DPS, and I've been told that the phone line is busy.
You have to be on record.
Sorry. For the record, I'm Allison Hanzel from DPS. I've been told that the phone line is busy by our AST lieutenant who's standing by to answer questions.
Thank you. So do you know, Mr. Clark, whether there's anybody that your office has lined up for testimony on this bill?
No, Madam Chair. No one that we know of from the general public plans testimony.
Representative Greenberg.
Could we have Ms. Schroeder come up, please?
Yes. Mr. Clark?
If I may, Madam Chair, perhaps the representative could direct his questions or a question to me, and there's the possibility I might be able to provide an answer if, for some reason, the Department of Law is unable to provide someone today.
Representative Greenberg, do you want to ask Mr. Clark a question, or do you want to ask the lawyer a question?
With all due respect, and having a snooty opinion of the lawyers, we all know everything. I'd like Ms. Schroeder to come.
Through the chair, Representative Greenberg.
Okay. But you can stay because it maybe she can't answer.
While she's coming up, I have a couple of questions for Mr. Clark.
Go ahead.
In working on the bill, first, have you received any comments from any of the tribes in Alaska or any of the Native organizations?
No, Representative Clayman through the chair, no, nothing
okay.
Specific.
Another question through the chair, have you received any comments from any groups or any individuals that are objecting to this change, at least in your work on the bill?
Representative Clayman through the chair, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative
Greenberg. If we could have them both here, then we'll have the benefit of both of their thinking. Is that okay?
That would be fine.
Madam Chair, I believe both attorneys from the Department of Law are online right now.
All right, great.
We'll have them too. I don't care if that's
all drugs.
We'll listen to the... All right, so we have online Mary Lundquist with the Department of Law. And also John Skidmore with the Department of Law. So we have David Hansen from the Alaska State Troopers, and then we have Mary Lundquist from the Attorney General's Office. All right. So, Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And do you want to say who you're directing your question to?
Yeah, and I may, if it's permissible, address it to anybody who wants to and can't answer it. Ms. Schroeder, where are you? All right, to the chair, are you saying you're not the person to answer any questions? Or we should just
use. I'm saying that we have Mary Lundquist online as well as John Skidmore, and John Skidmore is the director of the criminal division, and so they are the lead on this bill.
Who's the last person?
John Skidmore.
Who you said somebody after?
Mary Lundquist.
I think you said a third person, just the two of them.
Yes.
That would be fine. Sure, I'll direct mine to those guys. Through the chair. And I guess this is also to you, Mr. Clark. The Attorney General suggests that the legislature should amend conflicting statutes to bring Alaska into compliance with VAWA, as most other legislatures have done. Is there anything within that statement that the department wants to have brought into compliance with VAWA that is not contained in the bill?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, my best answer to that question is that months ago we provided the version of the bill you are now looking at to the Department of Law. They took some time for a thorough evaluation, and their response to us was that they had no problems with the bill and could.
May I, Mr. Skidmore or Ms. Lundquist, is there anything else that the department now feels should be included in the bill, or anything in the bill that the department feels should not be included?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, this is Mary Lundquist with the Attorney General's Office. I am not aware of anything in VAWA that would require other changes to state statute.
Okay, then the opposite question, is there anything in the bill?
Chair.
Oh, through the chair. Yeah, thank you. And not just limiting it to you, but to anybody there on the line, through the chair. Is there anything in the bill that you feel that should not be included?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, this is Mary Lundquist. I don't think that there's anything in the bill that should not be included to bring us in to compliance with VAWA.
If I may continue a dialogue a bit.
Go ahead.
I want to go over a couple of the questions that were not answered initially. First, what are the tribal courts that could try cases and have them subject to full faith and credit under this bill? Can you provide a list to us?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, the list of tribes that would be able to issue protective orders under this bill would be all federally recognized tribes in the state of Alaska, and they just issued a new list on the Federal Register, and I could provide that to the committee if they wanted. It's 229 tribes in the state of Alaska. Whether each of those tribes issues protective orders or not is another question. There are various degrees of sophistication among the tribes. So some might issue protective orders. Many of them will never issue a protective order.
Thank you. Through the chair, please. First of all, could you send the committee, who can distribute it to the members, that list of 229 tribes?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, I will send that list to the committee.
And if I may, do you have or will you get, as tribes assume this responsibility, an indication from individual tribes that they are taking on this responsibility? Will you be notified as the Department of Law?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, I don't think that we will be separately notified. The tribes have been issuing protective orders for many years already, and the state has been recognizing those orders. There won't be any special notification provisions when a tribe decides that it's going to begin to issue a protective order, or even if it has issued a protective order.
A next question through the chair. is there any mechanism now to require that tribes, when they assume this responsibility, notify the state of Alaska so the state can have some idea of whether this particular tribe, whatever tribe it is, are in fact undertaking this function to assure that at least there's some indication of whether this is not a fraud?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, there is currently no mechanism that by which a tribe would notify the state of Alaska that they're exercising their authority to issue tribal protection orders. And the tribe would be issuing protective orders under their inherent jurisdiction, so it'd be like being notified by the state of Washington or something. There's currently no mechanism for that.
Then may I follow up, please?
Where are you going with this?
I'm going to... this is one area I'm going to explore, which is whether there should be some mechanism to require the tribes to notify that they're doing this or they're undertaking this jurisdiction. May I continue, please?
I'm going to interrupt you just for one moment so that I can ask either Mr. Clark or Ms. Skidmore a question. This includes other tribes outside of Alaska, does it not?
Madam Chair,
yes, it does.
So that could there conceivably even be a mechanism so that every tribe in the United States would have to notify the state of Alaska that they might at some point in the future issue protective orders? I mean, I guess I'm going to ask that to Mr. Clark and then either Mary Lundquist or John Skidmore.
Madam Chair, it seems to me that such a requirement would be counterproductive in that this provision in the Violence Against Women Act is meant to actually streamline tribes and other jurisdictions' ability to have their protection orders enforced in the state of Alaska. It eliminates a step that is now required in state statute that their protective order be filed in a state registry through a state court with the idea that they could get more immediate law enforcement support if someone was facing danger from a person against whom they had a protective order put in place. It's possible, Representative Grunberg, through the chair, that I don't completely understand your goal in this whole matter, generally speaking, the bill in bringing the state in compliance with the Violence Against Women Act is removing a step in the hopes that it will be to the benefit of people under protection, you know, from these orders.
Thank you.
May I?
You can continue.
Thank you. where I'm going, there are a number of places that concern me about. I'm not saying I oppose the bill or anything, but what I am saying, issues that do need to be explored. One of which is we have in other courts, other state courts, it's called the UCCJEA, the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction and Enforcement Act, and there's a federal law called the PKPA, Parental Kidnapping Prevention Act. So it's federalized. And normally, a child has to be within the state of Alaska for 6 months before the court can entertain anything concerning its jurisdiction. There's an exception provision in that for an emergency situation for the protection of the child. And my question is, what is the interplay between that body of state and federal law and this? Because it's a very narrow exception that's permitted under those other statutes. And I'm concerned about somebody bringing a child into Alaska, going into a jurisdiction that's tribal, and thus evading the normal requirements of that other state law. And I guess I should ask the attorney, now that you understand what I'm talking about, Mr. Clark, I'm going to ask through the chair, the lawyers here, the Department of Law, what is the interplay between this and those other acts? I'd ask you, either of the lawyers. Thank you.
Does either Mr. Skidmore or Ms. Lundquist want to take on that question?
Representative Greenberg, through the chair, I am not personally...
Would you like to identify yourself?
This is Mary Lundquist with the Attorney General's Office.
Thank you. We just need that for the record.
Thank you. I'm not intimately familiar with the UCCJEA or the PKPA. You had mentioned that the concern was about taking a child and going into a jurisdiction that in which a tribe could issue a protective order. The protective orders issued by tribes in Alaska wouldn't be by mass. It would be by the tribe and whether it involved a tribal member. That's how the subject matter jurisdiction of the tribe would be determined. Do you have anything? That's all I have on that point.
Representative Greenberg, I actually don't understand where you're going here. All this does is basically remove the requirement that the protective order be filed. We already have this law on the statutes. The feds already have their law on the statutes. I guess I just don't see where you're coming from is particularly germane to this particular bill.
With that confirmation, I just want to be sure that this can't be used as an end run over the other jurisdictional requirements of the law.
I guess I don't see how taking out the word filing from it changes things. So, at any rate, Representative Clayman.
And this is a question for one of the Department of Law attorneys. Is there anything in the federal law that requires a tribe to register with the federal government or somehow provide notice that they have established a tribal court and that tribal court is now issuing orders that would relate to violence against women?
Representative Clayman, through the chair, there isn't anything involved that I'm aware of that would require a tribe to give prior notice to the federal government that they're going to exercise their inherent authority to issue protective orders. VAWA itself in 18 U.S.C. 2265E recognizes broad jurisdiction on behalf of the tribes to issue protective orders. They have full civil jurisdiction to issue and enforce protective orders involving any person. So I think that there's recognition within VAWA of broad jurisdiction, within the tribes themselves to issue the protective orders.
Following up.
Go ahead.
So really the only thing a tribe needs to be is federally recognized, and there's some means by which the federal government or Department of Interior recognizes tribes. Once a tribe is recognized by the federal government, then they have that inherent power. Some tribes may exercise it, some may not. Is that correct?
Representative Clayman, through the chair, that is correct. If they're a federally recognized tribe, they have inherent jurisdiction over the U.S. Supreme Court federal case law recognizes tribal jurisdiction over tribal lands and tribal members. So as long as that there was one person who was a member of the tribe that was subject to the protective order, then I think the tribe would have inherent jurisdiction over that. And the point true is whether they were a federally recognized tribe.
And I think hopefully my last follow-up. Right. Thank you. Then if we've got a federally recognized tribe, would there be a conflict between the federal tribal recognition and the Violence Against Women Act that doesn't require a tribe to give notice to the federal government that, oh, we're now issuing these orders? Would there be a conflict between a state law that required such notice and a federal law that doesn't?
Representative Klayman, through the chair, this is Mary Lundquist again. I think that it at least would be somewhat inconsistent to require prior notice by the tribe, and I think it is runs counter to the intent of VAWA to remove the restraints on issuance of tribal protection orders and even foreign orders, and having those foreign orders recognized in other states.
Thank you.
Do we have any further questions for Representative Grunberg?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. This uses the term protective order fairly loosely. Under Title 18, Alaska domestic violence orders are specifically defined, and as I recall, in most cases, 6 months, although it can be extended to a year. I don't see anything here that is similarly definitional as to what a tribal protection order is. And I could conceive of a system where a protective order could be permanent, for example. What is there that defines what a tribal order might be?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, this is John Skidmore, the director of the Criminal Division. The answer to your question is actually found in the Violence Against Women Act, where it defines a protective order and it contemplates the precise notion that you've asked about, that could there be a permanent, a lifetime protective order? And the answer is yes, there could be. The way that it works is that the law which controls is that for what the protective order says, it's the jurisdiction that issues it. So, for example, if the state of Washington had a protective order that was a lifetime protective order, it would be in existence for that person's lifetime. The way it works in Alaska is that we are the enforcing state. And so what we look at is there a crime on our books for a violation of that order? And the answer is yes, we do have a crime here for a violation of a protective order. And we don't care what Washington says about how long it lasts. We enforce it as Washington says that it's a valid order. What we do, however, get to do is analyze, is that a crime in Alaska? So if I can, to go back for a moment to your question about custody, we don't have violations of protective orders based on child custody, which is the other two federal acts you asked about. We are only interested in contact, threats, or whether or not a person has weapons. Those are the violations of protective orders that we enforce, nothing to do with child custody.
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
So I hear, number one, that the only portions of the protective order you enforce are those that are injunctive and not custodial. Am I hearing you right?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, this is John Skidmore again. The answer to your question is yes. What we enforce under criminal law is the injunctive. The custodial, I'm not saying isn't enforced under Alaska law, so please don't misunderstand. What I am indicating is that there is not a criminal charge that we enforce as enforcing a protective order. There are other statutes that we look at for child custody, but those are not the ones that are implicated by the charge of violating a protective order.
Through the chair, I'm a little bit confused. Under this bill, if we pass it, will that limit it to criminal enforcement, or will that also govern civil enforcement?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, this is John Skidmore again. Both types of enforcement would be available.
So, is there...
Through the chair.
Through the chair. You're the head of the criminal division, and I don't know whether Ms. Lundquist is with the civil division or not. My focus here in my question is the civil enforcement. Is there anyone on the line who can talk and answer my questions from a civil point of view?
Through the chair, this is Mary Lundquist. I'm with the civil division at the Attorney General's office. If you could repeat your question, I guess.
My question is, from a civil point of view, and we're talking about custodial, since we're seeking the civil enforcement of a domestic violence protective order that's asked to be enforced in a tribal situation, in the tribal court. Let us say that there is, in the state of Idaho, which is the issuing state where the family lives normally, a protective order out of there, a domestic violence protective order, that let us say for the purpose of discussion, and I have no knowledge of any factual basis here in an actual case, that under the law of Idaho, a DV protective order which adjudicates the custody of the child for the period that Idaho law allows would allow that order to remain on the books and effective for 5 years, whereas Alaska's normally 6 months, could be a year if it's extended. Would this law, if passed, allow or basically require the Alaska court, tribal or otherwise, I would say tribal or otherwise, to extend that child custody, protective custody order for the period of Idaho, 5 years rather than just the normal year? That was for Ms. Lundquist.
Through the chair, I am not... I really don't know the answer to that question, is the way I'm going to have to answer it. I am not familiar with child custody laws. I think that...
Ms. Lundquist, I want to interrupt here. Yeah. Do these questions go to this bill, the changes in our law in this bill, or do Representative Grunberg's questions simply go to the law as it is now if this bill were not adopted? Because I just want to discuss in this committee the changes to the law in that are promulgated in this specific bill, not general questions with respect to the law of restraining orders, protective orders, etc. So that's what I'd like to know. If you could answer this, either Ms. Lundquist or Mr. Skidmore.
Madam Chair, VAWA has preempted certain provisions of state law, and this bill is designed to bring state law into conformance with the what VAWA already requires us to do. So I think that you are probably correct that these questions are a little bit astray, whether, you know, the interplay between child custody orders and child and protective orders. If there is a conflict, it currently exists now, and this bill won't have any effect on that.
May I respond to your question, please?
Yeah, well, I'm not answering question. Oh, so do you have a follow-up question relating to the changes in the law from this bill, Representative Grunberg?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. If the members would please look at sections 8 and 9 of the bill, back on pages 4 and following. It talks on line 17, for example, about the petition that is filed under the provision. This is in the divorce or dissolution statutes, AS 25.24.200 and following. That's in the no-fault dissolution provision, in the family law provision. And it's not particularly dealing with state custody, which would be in Title 47, not dealing with criminal law, which is in Title 11. It's dealing with the dissolution statutes in the Code for Family Law. And what it does, Madam Chair, if you would look, it changes the dissolution statute must consider a protective order filed in another jurisdiction and recognized in this state. It's not just whether it's filed, it has to be recognized, and that draws in these jurisdictional things, and it is the same in Section 9. And I'm not trying to rag the bill around. I'm trying to find out in this line of questioning, at this point in my questioning, what the effect this has in the adjudication of dissolution statute cases. And it very definitely is civil. And I think that it's not the case that the state's involved. The state's not involved in these cases because these are private custody disputes. It's important what I'm asking. And I'm going to just pass on, but these are legitimate questions here. And let me just have a few others. And I glanced without great detail in the Attorney General's letter, which is, I think, at the heart of what we're dealing with here, and that is the July 30, 2015 letter to Commissioner Folger from the Attorney General's office, including Ms. Lundquist. And I should know this, but I can't think of it. What was the, quote, Alaska exemption that we're talking about? It's some kind of must be an exemption from federal law or something. And I've got early Alzheimer's. I don't remember what it was. Could somebody tell me, anybody, Mr. Clark, anybody?
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, the Alaska exemption was exemption from Chapter 2265 of the Violence Against Women Act, which, to simplify, was the part of the act that removed, from this state's point of view, the requirement that a protection order from another jurisdiction, a non-Alaskan state court jurisdiction, no longer needs to be filed in an Alaska state court in order to be enforced. So,
and if I may, so there was this exemption, and then they did away with the exemption to require it to be filed. Was that what went on?
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, just the opposite. Okay. They've done away, by doing away with the Alaska exemption from that chapter of the Violence Against Women Act, Alaska now must follow the provisions in Chapter 2265, meaning that we can no longer require that a protection order from another jurisdiction be filed with a clerk in a state court before state law enforcement are compelled to enforce that protection order.
And with a little leeway from the chair.
I've given you just about as much leeway. So one more follow-up from you, Mr. Representative Grunberg. I just think that this has just totally gotten beyond a discussion of this bill.
Well, I hope you see where I am. You give me a little leeway, and I appreciate that. You said, Mr. Clark, that it only applies to other states. It doesn't apply to foreign custody orders, like from Canada or anywhere else. and this is either for you or for the lawyers on the line, where does it, is it so limiting that the orders that this relates to are only domestic foreign orders? Where does it limit it?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, I think that the Attorney General and, in turn, I have been using foreign jurisdictions as a term of art. But the not being an attorney, I'm not certain that perhaps I'm in error by tossing that, that phrase around. But I could.
You can ask the lawyers, Representative Gruenberg. But once again, that seems to apply to the entirety of the statute. That this bill is simply eliminating the phrase filed. The statute exists already.
I understand.
So could you limit your questions, Representative Gruenberg, to the changes made by eliminating the requirement for the filing of the protective order?
I understand. And I just want to ask this one question. That's it.
All right.
Thank you. To the lawyers on the line, or anybody, where does it say that this only applies to law, to protective orders from another state or territory of the United States, and wouldn't apply to a foreign order from Morocco or any place in between?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, this is John Skidmore from the Criminal Division. Section 2 of the bill is actually what says that, sir. It says that this section, protective order, means an order issued, filed, or recognized, and then specifies under the Alaska statutes. And those Alaska statutes talk only about ones filed within the United States and not from a foreign country, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions?
I'm Title 13.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee.
No further questions. I'd like to open this up to public testimony.
Thank you.
Do we have any public testimony? I don't see anyone online to testify. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to testify? Well, hearing no testimony, I am going to close public testimony.
Madam Chair, if I could just have a minute to look up a statute, please.
We'll go off record for a minute.
And I don't see, and I could be dead wrong on this, I don't see in, I'm looking in the AS 13.26.207 to .209, anything that limits it like that. And I'm just simply putting this on the record because I'm going to obviously have to take a little more look at this. And I have no reason to dispute what Mr. Skidmore says, but I just can't find it at this point.
Yes, but again, Mr. Gruenberg, I'm not sure that that changes anything as far as this bill, this particular bill. Because remember, we are only changing in this bill the requirement of filing.
I understand.
It seems like, Representative Gruenberg, that you're interested in a discussion about the whole idea of who honors protective orders from which jurisdictions and when, and that really doesn't relate to the subject of this particular bill. So my plans were...
I'm not going to hold the bill. That's not
my
doing.
My plans were not actually to move this bill today. So is there any additional discussion? And if there's not, we can hold this bill for... there's additional discussion?
As you know, sometimes I'm not afraid to ask some questions you may not think are germane, but I appreciate the leeway. The question I have is that the intent of the bill...
Representative Gruenberg, we're holding this bill. You can ask that question on another day. So
all right, that's fine.
We are... adjourned. It is 1:55.